There's no need to panic. It was just a spring game. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Barn Social Hour. My name is Hunter Bussey. Next to me is Graham McLean. And yes, there's been a little bit of panic about the spring game. We're talking about A-Day and a little bit of other some basketball news at the end of the show. But we'd first like to go into our A-Day thoughts. And Graham, I'll start with you. What did you see? What did you like? What did you not like? What stood out to you the most?
First of all, I just had a good time. It was my first ever A-Day. It was a great day, beautiful weather. And it was just a great time to watch some football, after being a couple months where we've gotten to watch it. So, that was exciting. I really enjoyed it.
In the moment, I would say I was overreacting in a sense, not really, more jokingly, but overall I feel fine after everything, and after kind of decompressing all the information and everything that we saw. Clearly, like we said in the beginning, a lot of reactions, people are overreacting about Byram, about the two picks, really three picks. One of them was called a flag, though. Mm-hmm. Still a pick, but technically wasn't a pick because of the penalty. But there are two picks. Other than that, in regulation and scrimmage, one of them was a freak play made by Jared Smith, and we'll talk about him in a minute. The other one was not a great decision, but multiple people have said that we don't really know if that was a receiver error. We'll never really know the answer to that, but it was not a good pick. But so I am not going to overreact to this. One, it's just a spring game, but two, what a lot of people need to understand, and my stance on this so far has been, the spring game took out a complete part of Byram's game. It took the running game completely away from him. There were multiple times in the game where he tried to run the ball. It's like the second he got past the line of scrimmage, the refs blew it dead. Mm-hmm. And I think multiple of those plays he could have scored for a touchdown in a real game scenario. That part was completely taken away from him. And for the defensive side of that, the defense didn't have to worry about that. When we get to Saturdays in the fall, defenses have to game plan for Byram's legs. That is a must. You have to. Yeah. If you don't, he will run all over you and put up 60 points on you. Durkin and this defense knew, okay, well, Byram's obviously not going to run the ball, so we don't have to game plan. We don't have to have like a QB spy or something like that to game plan and get for him. And so that allowed the defense to kind of, know what to look for and to really focus on other things, which I think ultimately could have caused some issues for Byram. But also, I mean, Golish said in his little press game interview that, one, he didn't think Byram saw the field well, and I would agree with that.
Yeah.
But he also said that part of Byram's game is getting out of the pocket and extending plays, and that's sometimes where he plays his best. And we didn't really get to see that from him. And so he said that Byram having to stay in the pocket and sit in there kind of messed up his flow, which I completely understand. I mean, that's not his style of play. And so he had to change it a little bit for this. And it was also a simple offense. And so there's a long way for this team to go. This team is not 100% ready yet. And Golish has said that. Golish knows that. And, time to get back to work, have a little bit of a break, get back to work this summer, and let's get ready for fall. Let's get ready to play Baylor. So that's my offensive side of that piece. Really excited about DeShawn Spencer. He had a really good game of the twos.
Yeah.
Tristan Tia as well looks very good at QB2, so I'm really promising with that. I really like the offensive line. Joseph Simmons at tackle looked strong. Cole Best had some high snaps a couple times throughout the game. It really felt like one drive in particular. There were some pretty high snaps. One snap went over Byram's head for a fumble. And then a couple more that Byram got, but he really had to jump for them to get them. So But I mean, like multiple people have said now at this point, we said on this channel too, that if that was anybody else other than Cole Bess, I would be a little concerned, but I think Cole Bess will do whatever it takes to fix that problem, to figure it out and whatever it is. And we, that won't be an issue. So no, not to be worried about that. Defensive side of the ball. Really thought the linebackers had a really good day. Xavier Atkins made some great plays in the backfield. So did Bryce Diaz with a pick. Bryce Diaz had a pick. Talk about Jared Smith coming off the edge and also getting an interception, which was a freak play, which I mean, like, just showed why you're paying what you are. I mean, insane. He would have scored a touchdown on that interception too if it was live. So overall, happy with it. It was not a – it was. I don't think their goal here was to showcase – show the fan base, like, yeah, this is what we got. I think it was just a, kind of another practice for them to try to get better. And they weren't worried about showcasing what they had. I think it was just a practice that – it kind of felt like a practice that we got to see, you know, a scrimmage that we got to see. So, yeah, that's kind of my takes on it. But overall, it was a good day.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. It's a glorified practice is all it is at the end of the day. Like, it's a jamboree game, if you will, or like it is with high school if, in a way. But anyway – my thoughts as far as the offensive side of the ball goes, and people have to realize this because one, Cam Newton didn't have a good spring game when he was first at Auburn. And
Marshall didn't even play in the spring game next year.
No.
Or not next year, but in 2013.
Yeah, 2013, because he was a late addition to the roster. But it's one of those things that people have to realize that quarterbacks have such a short, it's an incredibly short leash. Honestly, you can't really do a lot. You're wearing an orange jersey. If
you're not to get touched.
Yeah. You can't even get breathed on half the time. I mean, and that's, yeah. And Byram's game is dual threat. You know, if I don't see anything in the pocket, I'm going to get out of it and try to make some magic with it, either with my arm or with my legs, one of the two. And he didn't really get a lot of opportunity to do that. And when he would try to scramble out of the pocket, he wanted to run. You could tell he wanted to run, but he was like, I'm just going to make a throw. And if whatever happens, happens. And that's where the picks come in. Hopefully he will adjust that. And like Golish said, he didn't really see the field well, but again, you're on an incredibly short leash at quarterback. So it's just going to look like that. But yes, I do agree that Tristan Tia looked really good. We have a solid backup quarterback.
He did
have a
pick too.
He did.
But I mean, also, like, don't get us wrong. This defense is really good.
So. Yes, this defense is very raw. The one that stood out to me was, I think it was Byram's second pick, I want to say. Like, it was just a freakishly good play on the defensive side of the ball. That, I mean, he, like, was able to, like, contort his body and just kind of, oof, you know what I mean, and snag it and run back. But, yeah, overall, I thought it was fine. It was in the moment I texted a friend of ours, and I told you this, and I was like, Auburn A-Day equals yikes fest for quarterbacks. And hopefully, we can get that under control. But kind of agree with you, like a couple of days have passed by. It was a spring game. We're so eager to be good again. Like every little thing that looks better, like, oh my God, we're going to be worse. And we have to take that into account that it can't get worse. There's no way it can get worse, right? There's no way. But who knows? The last really bad season we had was 3-9 back in 2012. So I'm hoping we don't get back to that point. I don't think we will with this team. I think Golish knows what he's doing. And
the year the Chizik got fired after giving us a natty,
which again, I think we too early. Again, that's just me.
I don't really think that one was too early just because I think Cam Newton won the championship in 2010. Mm-hmm. I don't think Gene Chizik did. I mean, obviously, Gene Chizik helped, but Cam kind of won that natty for us.
Totally fair.
I think Gus was a better coach than Chizik. Don't get me wrong. I still totally appreciate Chizik and everything like that, but
yeah,
Gus was the right move for that.
Yeah, but I will say the name that stuck out to me the most was Deshaun Spencer. My God, he might play. You know, like you would look at him and think like, oh, that guy's like a seasoned vet, you know what I mean? But he's only a freshman. That's what's like crazy. Like he plays like he's been in college football for 3 years now. So that was very interesting. I can see why his name in that. I don't know if y'all remember the scrimmage that they had under the lights when Cam and Takeo Spikes were there. And, you know, they were talking about that. And that was when Byron met Cam. I think y'all are kind of remembering what I'm talking about. But that name was, you know, said a lot after that scrimmage. So that was really cool to see that in person, honestly. But I'm hoping that he'll be used a lot as like a kind of like a Swiss Army knife for us in a way, because you have so many good receivers on this team.
Yeah, and someone brought up, it might have been Kyle, but he said that Deshaun Spencer might be what we thought Malcolm Simmons was going to be.
100%. Just
like usage-wise, skill-wise, like shifty-wise, it might even be a little bit better. I just pulled up his stats from A-Day. He had 9 catches for 93 yards with his longest 23. He was targeted 10 times. So that's just awesome.
Yeah, didn't it? It was like 3 plays in a row they went to him, I feel like.
Yeah, and they did a couple like quick catches, turn and like throw it out to the flats where we had receivers out there blocking, and then it's just, you know, go make the next man miss. And it worked multiple times. We even did that with Keyshawn Singleton.
Mm-hmm.
And man, Keyshawn Singleton dropped somebody doing that. I mean, it was, I can't remember who it was that he dropped. It might have been Fred Gaskin. Hopefully it wasn't, but
yeah.
Absolutely dropped a dude. It was awesome. But also super excited about the running back room. From what we see. I mean, I think we've got 3 guys in there right now that could be as of a use to us. And mm-hmm. and also going into that, everyone was assuming like, oh, Bryson Washington is not the 4th running back on this team. They're probably just for some reason. And then Ada comes around, we're like, oh, he is. He is the 4th running back on this team. And they kind of showed why. I mean, and Golish even said in his pressure afterwards that Bryson Washington's out of shape. He's not in football ready, you know, shape yet. He needs to lose some weight before he can really get back out there. So there was a reason for him not being, you know, super active this spring. And so hopefully he can get that under control and can contribute. But man, Jeremiah Cobb, Omar Mapson, and the Kai Davenport in that order could be scary. Including, and then you have Ad Byron.
Yeah, and what's really crazy too is like our team, as far as like certain positions, obviously not the whole team, but at certain positions we are very deep. And Daryl touched on this on the stream last night. I don't know if you caught this, but they're like on the linebacker position, there's potential that Riddick is like linebacker 4 on the depth chart, which is insane considering like how good he can be. And we have people in front of him that are better. You know what I mean? It's just, it's a good sign that we have a lot of depth to like, you know, that next man up mentality could be, you know, mixed in with a little bit of talent too for a change, which is very, very, very nice. And, you know, hopefully it's going to create some healthy competition and make people better. And overall it'll transition to the field on game days. And, I'm just excited. And I like the speech too that Golish gave. I don't know if anyone caught this. I can't repeat all of it, obviously, for, you know, on air purposes, but he basically said, you know, we have a couple months to get this thing right. Don't waste an effing day. And they are going to go into that, I'm sure, headstrong and be ready for Baylor in Atlanta in September. I'm so excited for that game. After being at A-Day and just being around the campus again on a football, you know, themed day, very excited for football. I'm ready for it, and I know everyone is as well. But you know what else I'm excited for, Graham?
Before we move on to that real quick, I wanted to bring this up. Was also around A-Day.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn got the commitment of a 4-star tight end, George Lamon.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how you say it. Everyone, this is kind of, you know, we talked about this. We're kind of searching for bigger fish after the decommitment last week.
Yes.
Well, here's your bigger fish. But an amazing, incredible moment came out of this.
Very
that
cool.
I absolutely love. And I think this is the most energy a coach has shown.
Yeah,
at Auburn, as long as I can remember. So I have a clip for y'all. A lot of y'all have probably seen it. It's kind of blew up all over social media, but a little software issue. So, the video is about Golish embracing our new tight end recruit, four-star tight end recruit, George Lamond. It's just such an incredible video. And so I'm going to play it. And I just love this video. So. So yeah, he goes on to embrace the dad as well. So it's just, it's so energetic. Golish is so energetic there, and it's infectious, and I love it so much.
Yeah, I the key detail to that, like obviously he's excited that the tight end, you know, is committed to Auburn, but the fact that he's like, "Where's your dad? Where's your dad at?" Like, I love that. He's
growing the relationship with the recruit and the parent, which is so important.
Yeah, it's very refreshing to see that too, because you, especially with Harsin, like you did not see that at all. Like you didn't see like him embracing with the parents or anything like that. Unless I just missed it, I did not see that at all from Hugh Freeze either. So, I thought that was a really cool moment to see. So, but yeah, you know what else is really cool to see, and what else there is to do? Go to AUShirts.com. Go to AUShirts.com. Get all your gear from your favorite shows on the barn. You see the shirts and hoodies and hat on your screen now. We also have some mugs on there as well. New styles are being added weekly. We're working on a social hour shirt, so please keep an eye out for that. But again, that's AUShirts.com to get all your gear from all the shows at the barn. We also have another one, Graham. What is that?
Real quick, I know we've been saying we have a barn shirts coming for a minute. Trust me, I promise you they're coming.
We're working on it.
We're working on it. But I pinky promise there will be one soon.
Yes.
But yeah, also go over to buyauburn.com. Be who you say you are and do business with Auburn people everywhere. If you are an Auburn fan and you own your own company, go to buyauburn.com and sign up today and get your company on the website. This is just a place where Auburn fans can unite and go support Auburn companies, Auburn-run companies all over the country. For a good example, if you're heading to Baylor or heading to Atlanta for the Baylor-Auburn game and you need a restaurant or a bar to go to barburn.com and see if there's anything in the area where you can go support an Auburn fan. And this website is open to all types of businesses, but whether you're real estate, insurance, we even have a deer feeder on there. So literally anything that you do, anything at all, and you're a big Auburn fan, then go to buyauburn.com and sign up today to get your business out there for Auburn fans to support.
Yeah, we also, too, real quick, we wanted to talk about the A-Day tailgate that we had, the barn tailgate. A lot of fun. But also, we have a very special shout-out to the Ford Stokes, who helped put that on. He is a part of Active Wealth Management. We had a great time at the barn tailgate, got to hang out and talk with Auburn football with Ford, president of Active Health, who loves Auburn and knows his stuff financially and Auburn football. We had 100 plus people come through the white tent. It was the Barnes tent at the Auburn's admission white tent. It was really cool experience to have, you know, a great presence right next to the stadium. I actually got to sit with Ford at A-Day. We got to scout and noticed very quick that we have a very, very good backup QB in Tristan Tia. And Ford and his team at Active Management are ready to help you better protect and grow your hard-earned and hard-saved wealth. Ford is a registered Social Security analyst, and there are about 10 RSSAs in the state of Alabama and 24 in the state of Georgia. And Ford and another advisor with Active Wealth are two of those folks. Here's what Ford and his team are giving you when you book a Zoom call directly onto his calendar: a complete portfolio analysis to understand the risk you are taking and the fees you are paying, a Social Security maximization report, a retirement gap analysis, a financial plan to your 95th birthday with your current plan, and a financial plan to your 95th birthday and recommended portfolios and strategic Roth ladder conversation to help you delete the IRS from your retirement accounts. Ford says War Eagle, and he's looking forward to meeting with members of the Auburn family again very soon. So yeah, that we appreciate Ford Stokes for supporting us and helping us get that set up this past weekend. And it was so much fun to meet everybody. It was so, so much fun to meet everyone, including Ford, and got to shake hands with just a lot of people. Like, it was, again, it was 100+ people. It went by so quick. It didn't feel like it, but you know, whenever we got the head count, like, holy crap, there was a lot of people there. So it was a lot of go ahead.
I was going to say, it was also so awesome to put some faces to names, you know, some of you guys that have been hanging out in the comments or over at the barn, thebarnauburn.com. It's so awesome to put some names to faces. You know, we always see your comments in the chat and the Barncast. You guys make the Barncast what it is. It's, the Barncast is so much fun because you guys in the comments and in the live chat. So to be able to put some names to faces was so incredible. Just to shake some of y'all's hands. And literally, I mean, some of y'all could just come up and say three words and be like, I know exactly who you are. Someone came up to me and was like, yeah, I'm the guy that's been telling you to shave your head. I was like, no way. Like, that's so awesome. So yeah, so much fun doing that. Hope we can do more stuff like that in the future, but it was incredible to meet all y'all. And also, like you said, a huge shout out to Ford Stokes for helping put that together.
Yeah, and like I said, me and Ford got to hang out at the game, and it was a lot of fun getting to talk Auburn football with him and do a little bit of Ford and Hunter's independent scouting firm. That's what we're gonna call it. So yeah, we had a lot of fun with that, and it was a very fun day getting to meet everybody. And I hope we get to do more, you know, things like that before Auburn games, whether it be for baseball or basketball, football, especially. So definitely be on the lookout if we do something like that again, for sure. It's a lot of fun. But shifting our focus from football to basketball, we finally got some recruits. But first and foremost, real quick, Sway is officially back in the portal.
Everything we're about to talk about, real quick, everything we're about to talk about, all happened today.
Yes.
There's three different things we're going to talk about. Every single one of them happened today.
So Sway is leaving. And yes, you're probably thinking, well, they put a graphic out that he's re-signing and he's coming back. Not the case.
They did put a graphic out. That is correct. But him returning is officially not true.
Yeah. Which is crazy, because that's just the era we're in, y'all. It's college sports right now. It's a mess, and I don't like it at all. I had some people telling me that because I put a tweet out calling him soft whenever this came out. Someone's like, you're part of the problem why people are not wanting to come to Auburn. I said, he's leaving Auburn. Like, Cam Coleman left Auburn. You leave Auburn, you're tiger meat. I'm sorry. Now, especially if you go out on bad terms. Right. To me, like Eric Singleton, that was a very interesting situation. But Cam and Sway, you're tiger meat. Anyway, that happened, but it freed up some roster room. We got the guy from Troy. Graham, you want to talk about like his stats and everything and name? Yeah.
So today we've gotten two recruits. Obviously, we got transfer forward from Troy, Thomas Dowd.
Big
6'8". Very big. I'm super excited about him. 6'8", junior out of Dothan, Alabama. Averaged 14.4 points last year and 10.1 rebounds per game. Was a Sun Belt Tournament MVP and first team All-League. And what a massive pickup. There's a clip floating around right now. I think Justin Hogenson retweeted it, of him absolutely stuffing Chad Baker-Mazzara.
Mm-hmm.
So that was awesome. But just a big get for this team. Clearly, Steven is emphasizing height and size with this team.
Yes,
that clearly is a big emphasis, and so super exciting to see. Really excited about him. We also got the commitment of Owen Freeman out of Creighton. Was formerly at Iowa before Creighton. Had a really good year at Iowa 2 years ago. Unfortunately, was kind of, you know, suffocated by injuries this past year, so didn't have the best year at Creighton, but still has a really high ceiling. So that's super exciting. I think he's 6'10". Mm-hmm. So again, great size.
Another player that I'm super excited about, and I think can do great things. And I, so far, I've been quite impressed with Steven in this portal process. It was slow.
Yes.
It was quite slow. There's multiple days where we talked about, like, hey, there's nothing happening. We have no news. And then they decided to throw all the news in on one day. I still don't think we're done. I still think, The portal closes tomorrow, I'm pretty sure.
Correct.
And I don't think we're done. I think there's still a chance we could get one or two more. I would probably lean one more right now, but maybe two.
I'd like to see two.
Well, I mean, think about it. There's so much that has to happen. Swain entered the portal today. Mm-hmm. Portal closes tomorrow.
So yeah, and just to clarify,
you gotta make a decision fast.
So just because the portal closes tomorrow, like, it means that you cannot enter the portal once tomorrow hits. If you're in the portal, you can still commit to a school after that. But if you,
it doesn't mean that you're just like, if you're not committed to a school, then you just have to sit out for the year. No, it doesn't mean that.
Yeah, say Sway went into the portal, or say he tried to go into the portal after tomorrow. He couldn't do it. But if he's already in there now and he commits to somewhere like a Tennessee or something like that, then he could.
He had to announce it today, basically, if he wanted to.
But
I think personally, he goes to Houston.
I could see that. I could see that happening easily. I really could. He's from Houston. So now that we have these guys, and a name that I'm shocked was not in the portal, and I'm glad he's not, because he has potential based off his highlights that I've seen. He just needs to get healthy with that blood clot that he has going on, I think is the official word, that, you know, just get a little bit more healthy with the blood clot and he should be fine. But Amiko
Porum, is that official?
I guess. I mean, that's what everyone's been talking about. I don't know if that's
official. That was my guess. I don't know if that was true.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he obviously was
putting pieces together that he was really tall and put him out a year. So I just was like, maybe it's that. I have no idea if that's true.
I'm assuming it wasn't anything ACL or MCL or anything, you know, arm, knee, head related, because he was not.
I don't think he ever had any surgery because of this. And if it was one of those related, he probably would have.
Yeah. But
so I don't know what it was. I just, that was my guess.
Right. Right. So that being said, we now have, and just, this is an updated massive front court that Auburn has. We have Amiko Porum, who is 7 foot. We have Bucky Oboye from the Santa Clara school, I believe. He is 7'1". Owen Freeman, who we got today, he is 6'10". And then we have Narcisse Ngoy, I think is how you say his name.
Heard Narcisse Noy, so I don't know.
Interesting. But that, I mean, 7 foot, 6'10", 7'1", 7 foot. I mean, that's pretty good. That's a massive upgrade from last year. So I will take that all day, every day. Like Graham said, look, I'm hoping.
We told Steven, hey, we need some big guys. And he's like, sounds good. And he loaded up on big guys.
Yeah, now we just need to be able to execute and have a very cohesive unit. And with Tahad and Overton coming back, I'm excited about that. They're definitely probably more than likely going to be the leaders of the team, for sure. Maybe, you never know, Simon Walker, him returning, that's big as well. I don't know if he's exactly the most vocal person in the world, but again,
I'd love for him to take a step, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's a good shooter. I mean, you saw him, you know, in the beginning of the season, the dude can light it up. So we'll see what happens there.
One game he had where he just couldn't miss a shot.
It was like, what, 5 threes in a row?
Something like that. But I mean, literally didn't do the rest of the year, but one game he was like, I'm just not going to miss tonight.
Yeah, I've turned into 2015 Steph Curry. But I agree with Graham. I think we'll at least get one more. I would like to see two more personally to add to the depth. I would like to get a point guard for sure. And maybe another stretch forward, whether that be a 3 or 4, I'll take whatever. We'll see how that plays out. Again, the portal closes tomorrow, but that doesn't mean that we can still get some commits. So that's just something to keep an eye out for. But again, we enjoyed meeting everyone at A-Day. We hope you enjoyed meeting us. Right. It was a true honor, and it's very special to get to meet everyone that watches us, and it's a blessing that we get to do this. And if you like what you're listening to and what you're watching, please go subscribe to The Barn. We would appreciate your support, as always. We have other great podcasts on this channel, including the one you're listening to and watching now, like the Top Button Podcast with Charlie Five, a.k.a. Kyle Rush, and Village Vice with Zach Blackerby and Brad Law, and The Baseball Show with Lindsey Crosby, Brad Law, and occasionally Sonny DeShera, and Landing the Planes with Chandler Wooten as well. So that I think that's two episodes deep now, I believe. So go support Chandler Wooten as he embarks on this new journey with his podcast, and show him the love and support that you show us and the other podcasts on this channel. So we're greatly appreciative for you guys. And as always, we will see you next time. And War Eagle.
Good.